everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday the 13th, June 13th, 2014. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a great weekend. We are live weekdays, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the podcast, live streaming and podcast of our show for anywhere in the world, listening at BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun all have prominent links to the Buckmaster Show on their websites, and we appreciate that. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us. Joining me to question the mayor, Dylan Smith, who is, speaking of TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan is the founder, editor, and publisher. I've added that now.
Okay, yet another title?
Yes.
Now I changed my business cards.
Yeah, founder, editor, and publisher. Thinks that gives a little more even gravitas.
For what that's worth.
Yeah. Okay. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line. It's open for you at 790-2040. Also invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show, and that's easy to find us on Facebook. It's Bill Buckmaster. Dylan, good to see you.
Pleasure to be here as always.
And Mr. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm very good, Bill, and always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. Let's get right into it. Tucson will give a temporary permit for a shelter for the influx of Central American immigrants, young people who are coming not only to Arizona, but Texas. Of course, everyone by now, Mayor, has seen the picture that has gone round the world of the children in the abandoned warehouse that the Border Patrol is using to house these immigrant children in Nogales. How does Tucson play into this?
Well, we're very limited in our governmental responsibility. Our first responsibility was we did have a request from an outfit called Southwest Key, who was in my understanding contract with Homeland Security, to get a location that could be a temporary shelter, and we were able to get that done. I think there may have been a small hiccup, but we got it done, and they now have the paperwork to get that done. They have an operation in Phoenix as well, Southwest Key. And my understanding is also that a group known as Pasadena, a social service agency, is working to coordinate the social service requirements for that. My understanding is going to be a 280-bed facility. And as the mayor of the community, my responsibility, I believe, is to assure that we have safe housing, that we coordinate the social service requirements. You know, there's an interesting question there, which is, you know, they're temporarily housed here, and they're going to go from here to Nogales, Arizona, probably then to Nogales, Sonora. On my trip last year to Mexico City with the mayor of Nogales, Sonora, Mayor Guzman, one of his principal requests of his government in Mexico City was to have better shelter and social service facilities in his community, because although this is now grabbing headlines, this is something that goes on regularly. And in Nogales, Sonora, a community of 400,000, if children, adults are dumped in your community without the ability to care for them, and remember, these are people who have been dislocated. These are people who have medical needs. They may have certainly they have concerns, anxiety concerns, and the like. And getting those resources in Nogales, Sonora, you know, you could say it's not a concern of ours in Tucson, but it's a concern for the region.
Here's Dylan Smith.
That real quick, that hiccup was they needed a zoning variance to move ahead with that project in a timely manner. Otherwise, it was going to take months.
Well, what happened was, we're always accused of not doing this fast enough. Our plan development service director issued the permit, then found out that there was within 100 feet or so. At 500 feet area, they were within 400 feet of an area that you would require a public hearing. And so they were able to figure out a way to do a temporary permit. So they now have, they will be able to have the temporary permit.
But will there be a hearing on it to make this a permanent situation? Is this intended to be a permanent shelter?
Well, that's what I don't know yet. And they can get a temporary for up to a year. And there may be a way to extend that, but yes, if they want to make this a permanent shelter, then at some point you do have to jump through all the hoops.
Somewhat related, you've, along with a number of other mayors, taken on the challenge of trying to end homelessness amongst veterans. Can you give us an update on how that's going? Are we making progress?
Yeah, we're doing well, Dylan, and thanks for asking. And it really was a project that came from Washington. Tucson was one of 25 cities that was chosen for this. I think we were not chosen out of the ability not to have success. This is a community that has a large air base. It has a huge veterans community. It has a strong social service agency. So our goal was to house, I think it's approximately 1,600 vets by December of 2015. The program is now in its seventh or eighth month, and we've given housing to 600 vets, and we're on schedule. And one of the things that's encouraging and can be encouraging about our community is when we announced this, we had so many different kind of people come to us and say, how can I help? And we were able to organize, and we're on track. Now you have to understand that people are always falling in and out of homelessness. Some of them are vets, larger vet
populations. It can be a very cyclical thing.
So it can be a cyclical thing. So the idea is, with that number, is to build the infrastructure and expedite the processes, and we've been doing pretty well at it.
Is there anything we can take away from that project to help the broader problem of homelessness? For quite a while we've had some, a pretty significant activist present downtown with the folks at what's now called Safe Park in the middle of downtown. Is there a way to help end this whole problem or make it less of a problem?
I think making it less of a problem. And so part of the idea, and this was in the president's plan, is we will work to end veterans' homelessness, and by doing so, build up the infrastructure that can then take on child and family homelessness. And we're in the process of doing that. We got more vouchers for low-income housing delivered to the city from the federal government. We expedited our processes at the city for getting people through low-income housing, and all that helps. Ultimately, you need wraparound services. Ultimately, you need resources. And there are always going to be those, because of the nature of how a person gets to be homeless, that it is difficult to get them in to homes. And sometimes it takes some years to get them to see that that's the better option. But everything we can do to make it so that there are less people and it's quicker to service people that fall into homelessness, the better community we are.
12:13 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Friday Focus interview. Mayor Rothschild is here. Let's go to Matthew on the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew has a question for the mayor. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sort of concerned that local leaders like yourself are being asked, are having to deal with a situation that is clearly there seems to be a leaderless moment here. There's no federal leadership. There seems to be very little state leadership. And it just all of a sudden, as a local leader, have you reached out to the governor's office about declaring an emergency here in the state so that she can request funding? I mean, this is a Katrina-like event, but it's not like it's going to happen overnight. It's clear from the news reports that there's a wave headed for the border, all the way from Central and South America,
okay,
and that
thanks.
Wave will be a continual trickle, or it may have increase and decrease. But we have no leadership here. I hear that two departments, DHS and another, did have some sort of conference call. Were you aware of that? Was your staff aware of that?
All right. Thanks, Matthew.
Yeah, Matt, I don't think we're at the point of declaring an emergency. I think you're right. We're going to have to watch and see whether this becomes something that's chronic or whether it's something that's going to trickle off. And so at this point, we are doing what we need to do to deal with the people that are coming here. And luckily at this point, it's limited. We do have the authority. It's one of the authorities the mayor has to declare an emergency in the city. We did do that during Katrina, and we housed folks at the convention center.
Calling this a Katrina-like event is a bit of a, pardon the pun, an overblown statement. That was something that affected millions of people.
Yeah,
this is, you know, thousands of people. It's not insignificant, and it's a very serious problem that's difficult to deal with, but there's no comparison.
Yeah, no, we're clearly not there yet. I hope we don't get there. And the federal government, I think something that people aren't understanding, there's a lot of talk about it. To date, the federal government is doing the funding for these emergency housing, for the social services. If that situation changes, then we'll have to address it. But we take these things as they break.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. But just quickly, there are no immigrant kids currently being housed in the city of Tucson. Is that correct?
I believe there are some
there
here.
Are some.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a visit, and we can discuss after the break if you want afterwards, but from the Guatemalan consul about a month ago. And this was beginning then.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break right here. Back with the mayor right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry, What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is with us. The mayor of the city of Tucson, Dylan Smith, is here, founder, editor, and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Mayor, the credit rating for Rio Nuevo was downgraded. Should we be worried about that, just as we seem to be doing so well with our downtown renaissance?
You know, it's an interesting report. The report's principal concern was that you only have one base, which is sales tax, and that sales tax is very fluctuating, and we have some of those same issues in the city. The other issue, which is one that is going to be fixed, is that under state law, Rio Nuevo doesn't really have access to the taxpayer records independently, so they can't be checking on who's checking the box for Rio Nuevo and the like. And that has been fixed in this latest legislation. I thought Fletcher's comments, at least in the newspaper, were pretty accurate. You know, we haven't bonded in a while. We don't intend to. And we have to be careful and prudent with our money. And I talk to Fletcher pretty regularly, and I like Fletcher because he likes to look at projects, but there are times when we have to say, and remember, Fletcher, you only have this much money, and that's okay. We're going to have to be prudent with that money. That is not a huge cash flow. There's still this idea that there's money that just pours into Rio Nuevo for the last 3 or 4 years. That's what the bonding agency talked about. It ranges between $9 and $13 million a year, okay, which seems like a lot of money, but it isn't.
And we're talking about exactly Rio Nuevo chair Fletcher McCusker.
It's not exactly the city's purview, but why did it take so long to get that straightened out, to get better records for how the taxes are flowing into the TIF district? I mean, if it was down to an individual business checking a box on a form and they missed that somehow, no money went in.
Yeah, no, there was a period of time several years ago where neither Rio Nuevo nor the city in particular, you know, it was a strained relationship. And it really was a situation where we had to sit down, both Mr. McCusker and I, with the different people and say, look, we've got to work more closely together on this. And we have. But the fact of the matter is,
did we miss out on some money that should have gone in?
I know there was a time when people thought that. I don't think there was a lot, although I know when that board went back and looked and were able to look at some records, a slice of records, yeah, people weren't checking the box. Yeah. And so,
because if those taxes weren't allocated to Rio Nuevo, they would have gone just to the state general fund.
Correct.
You know, we're speaking of bonds. The Tucson city bond rating, that was somewhat good news, or I guess you could call it good news, right?
We call it good news.
Yeah, it's good news. They are concerned, the bond rating people, Finch, about our future with the pension. They're not alone in that regard.
Not at all. And I mean, the good news is that we maintained our rating. First of all, our water bonds are gold, and so those are AAA. Of course, you know, you secure them with water bills. But all municipalities, or at least in this state, you're dealing with sales tax, and it's a very volatile income source, and they're concerned about that. The other thing that across the country everybody's concerned about is, you know, what's ultimately going to happen with this continued pension pressure. And in Phoenix, I was just reading this week, I mean, they're up to $140 million a year in pension contribution. It's an awful big number, and it's going to be a tough go for us. It's probably the biggest challenge for me and our council over the next couple of years. How do you balance the constitutional protection and the promise that you've made to existing and former employees against the need to deliver present services, to be able to keep a competitive rate for your present employees, and to deliver more employees if that's what's needed? And we're going to have to start thinking outside the box. But it's a pressure that every city in the country is facing.
Here's Dylan Smith.
I've got to do a favor for Miguel Ortega, who's going to join us pretty soon, but after you leave, Mr. Mayor. And why did city staff stonewall in turning over public records on Grand Canyon University and the possible El Rio deal? And so much so that the city was really hammered by a court for their failure to turn over these public records.
Miguel and I would probably have a little difference of opinion on that. I can tell you that every record was disclosed. Every record was disclosed promptly. The mistake that the city made was that we had a system in place, which we've subsequently changed with technology, that deleted records after a certain amount of time, and you just couldn't recover them. And so when the statement was made by our attorney, we've given you all the records, and then Mr. Reisner subsequently asked, well, wait a second, what about before this time? And then Rankin said, look, we just don't have those records. Well, wait a second, you might have had more records. And the way the and you have to almost be a lawyer for this, the way the procedure came back, and Mr. Reisner, all the requests were was for attorney's fees. And so to get a motion for new trial, which was denied, but then to motion to modify the judgment, you have to show that there was bad conduct. And so the court had to make that finding in order to give Reisner, I think, $9,000 of the $90,000 he was requesting from the city. So, you know, as these things go on, you always better learn from your mistakes and you better acknowledge them. And one of the things the city did out of this was to get a new software system that will retain those records longer and they won't automatically delete. So that problem...
Well, the court order was to turn over records that were still extant, that were not turned over.
But everything, I can tell you, Dylan, everything was turned over. And it was turned over on, they had an argument about two records that ultimately the court said you did not have to turn over. Everything was turned over. But is it possible that there was a time period where records were deleted? Nobody, ultimately what Mr. Rankin is, he went back to everybody who was involved and said, did you have anything? Did you have anything after this? And to my knowledge, I know a certificate was filed just in the recent week that said there were no other records. It was an unfortunate situation from the beginning, and quite frankly, my take, the most unfortunate part about it, we weren't allowed to have a conversation in this community about Grand Canyon College.
We have the modern streetcar being dedicated July, I believe, the 20th, 21st?
July 25th is the big day.
25th is the dedication. A lot of people say this is a huge milestone for the city of Tucson. Maybe not on a par with when the railroad first came to town in the 1880s, but a lot of people are excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it should be a fun day. You know, the streetcar has, I'd like to say, had some bumps in the road, but it is here. We've got all eight cars. If you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have bet against it. Everything's been delivered. Everything's running. It is kind of exciting as you're watching now because they're really running on their 10-minute headways, and you see all the activity. There's been close to $1 billion of private and public investment on that streetcar route, and we still see it coming. Will we have challenges in O&M? We will. We had a huge break. The University of Arizona agreed to put it on the bursar statement for the students to purchase. It's not an opt-out, but an opt-in. And we need to do more
work. But that'll make it more likely that students will do that?
Way more likely. And we got some help from the University, the Ehlers School, that really pushed on the administration because they went to the students and did a survey, and the students said the single thing that will get us to buy it is if it's on our parents' credit card.
Has anybody run the numbers for the potential for late charges? Because all of these streetcars were so late, there were, you know, so many days late, it was X amount, and then later or even more. And
I've seen some of that. In the contract, there's a max, and I think it's $2.8-2.9 million. I've seen I'm not sure that the final calculations have been done. I know that there is money that we are owed, and I'm not sure that we've even begun yet the negotiations for how that's going to work out.
Mayor Rothschild, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.
You too.
All right. Dylan, stick around. We've got the Friday Roundtable coming up on the Buckmaster Radio Show. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. U.S. combat troops will not be returning to Iraq, the option being ruled out by President Obama, but he says he is considering a range of other options for dealing with the violent Islamic insurgency in Iraq. Soldiers and commanders who had served in the long Iraq War are now reflecting with bitterness and frustration on the sacrifices of the war that killed almost 4,500 Americans. No word yet on when the parents of Bo Bergdahl will arrive at an army base in Texas to be reunited with their son, freed from 5 years captivity in Afghanistan 2 weeks ago. On Wall Street, stocks holding on to gains. The Dow is up about 18 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 5, and the S&P is trading 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is time now for our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith, the founder, editor, and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com, sticks around after our interview, our Friday focus interview with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. And joining us now in studio, a newcomer to our Friday roundtable, but not a newcomer to Tucson, certainly. He is Miguel Ortega, columnist, community activist, talk show host at a good run, nice little run to get things going here on this station with a show called Locally Owned, and we'll be looking forward, Miguel, to you getting back on the air. I think you had found some synergy with that Saturday morning show.
Absolutely. Learned a lot, and it makes me respect professionals like you, Bill. you know, because I mean, it takes a lot of folks don't know how much it takes to produce a show like that, and so we definitely had an impact, and look forward to coming back for sure.
Miguel, what's your take on this mess on the border?
I was following a lot in social media and news reports, and it took me a long time to really even comment or engage at all, because it really shook me up a little bit. You know, it's one thing to talk about immigration challenges when it comes to adults crossing the border and everybody fighting in D.C., but when you see kids, you know,
as young as three,
yeah, that's just really heartbreaking and outrageous, and it's just terrible. It's a big crisis. So I just recently, you know, commented on it. And so my concern is that, two things. First of all, it's being politicized, obviously, by the right and the left here locally and nationally. And it's a major shame, because it is a crisis. And I heard Dylan's comments, and I agree. This particular situation is not, a Katrina-sized, situation, but it is a part of a major ongoing, you know, several decades long, tragedy regarding immigration. And so a lot of folks don't realize what's happening in Latin America, not just Mexico, but further south. And, you know, these are not just kids who, you know, with their families that jumped on trains and said, you know what, we'd like to look for a better life. We'd like to go and check out the United States. Maybe get some better jobs. It's a lot worse than that. You know, you don't do that. You don't go and you risk your lives, or you don't send your kids out alone like that, just for the heck of it.
To travel on foot or to hitch a ride on train for 1,000 miles across a foreign country to go to another foreign country.
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as I don't want to really politicize the issue, it's really hard not to compare what happened with Cuba and the political refugees and how we define political refugees and the whole policy of, like, you get across that ocean, get on the beach, man. You're here. You're a citizen. We love you. Because, you know, anything that states our policies and how, as a first world country, we're taking a lead and Cuba is the big evil country, you're with us, you know. And so to say that there aren't these kids aren't escaping political and hard-wrenching, terrible matters that you know, another thing too is that the U.S. has had a hand in because of United States policy with Latin America. So, you know, to dismiss it and think, these are kids, let's not encourage them, it's Obama's fault, you know, there's just all this rhetoric that's just really outrageous.
One of the immediate causes for this influx, this wave that we're seeing right now, is that the coffee crop is failing in Central America, and that's one of the, you know, most important parts of their economy. And, you know, it is, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of child labor that occurs in the production of coffee. And these, you know, little kids are losing their jobs and ending up, you know, even more homeless than they were already.
And the whole thing with the rumors in Central America about maybe misunderstanding what dreamers are all about, what we commonly call the dreamers that the Obama administration was talking about, what that translated when it got down to the village level in Honduras, Guatemala, or Nicaragua was that children are welcome to the United States. Immigrant children are welcome.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then these aren't kids who would in any way qualify for the deferred action policy.
No.
You know, we have ignored Latin America. If you go to any of the mainstream media, Latin America is always ignored. We talk about the Middle East, as we should. We talk about what's happening throughout the world. Latin America is always ignored. Always ignored. And, you know, maybe this will bring up some discussion, you know, but it's just, you know, we got to look at NAFTA and what happened with NAFTA and how that's impacted our decisions and folks coming up. But we have this weird love-hate relationship with Mexico and Latin America when it comes to immigration. We want the workforce. We love you for the workforce, but now we want you out. But now we want you in because the economy is better, but now we want you out, and we're going to scapegoat you, you know.
Miguel Ortega is with us, and Dylan Smith. Pima County, Dylan, planning to buy and preserve a Painted Hills desert area, which Supervisor Elias says has great biological significance to the Tucson Mountains.
You know, this is something that's probably, I would say, pretty important to both Miguel and I. We're both Westsiders. You're on the board of the Tucson Mountains Association, right?
I am, yes. I've been getting emails. Everybody's very happy and celebrating.
And you know, compared to a lot of previous deals that have been proposed, and I don't think we have time to go through the whole long, tangled history of how this played out, but the county's going to buy this property for $18 million less than the Dallas Pension Fund bought it for a few years back at the height of the housing bubble. And there's a whole lot that plays into that. Mainly, I'm mad about this deal because that property was the thing I was going to buy when I won the lottery.
Oh, there you go.
The county is stealing my dream away.
Okay,
this place is about three blocks down the street from my house, and I always wanted to buy it and just put, you know, one little house on there and leave the rest open space.
So the board, or my fellow board members, are all celebrating. They're like thinking of doing a commemorative hike and those kind of things. And I go, listen, you know, I just like to have, if we can kind of figure out in getting one small unpainted hill. That'd be a great investment for me if I can talk my wife into, you know, buying one of those.
Yeah. No, but seriously, this is a beautiful piece of land that's right on the edge of the city. It's going to expand, connect a number of other open space protected areas together. And this is something that environmental activists and Westside neighborhood groups have been pushing for many years, but from even back when it was state trust land. So I'm sure that there are a whole lot of people who are quite pleased, and people who, you know, trying to make this work, the county getting such a great deal on this, and you know, unfortunately for the folks in Dallas, they're losing a lot of money.
And there will be critics. You know,
it's my next.
Absolutely,
it's going to bring up the critics. Now, how can the county afford this? That's what the critics are saying in this very financially difficult time. What are we doing buying more land?
Yeah, and we should have those watchdogs, and we should have critics, and we should really keep a look, a close look at all budgets. But, you know, the one thing that we have to recognize is that no matter how bad our budget is, you can't stop investing. You can't stop thinking about our future and figuring out how we can stimulate our economy. And you cannot dismiss, you know, tourism and ecotourism as a valid, economic strategy, you know, for our community, you know. So folks are going to, you know, criticize that, but I just think that it is a great investment, and if the county can afford it, fantastic. I have other issues with the way they're spending their money, but this particular investment.
The price tag on the deal is $7.5 million, and interest over time might add about another million, depending on there are a few ways to speed up payments that could cut that down a little bit.
Ethan Orr, state representative, had a difficult week,
to say the least.
And Ethan on his Facebook page was saying, he was quoting, actually, if I get this right, I think he was quoting the Reverend Billy Graham in saying that if you wake up in the morning and you have a meal in front of you, you are a lot better off than millions of people around the world.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But as long as you have that, at least things could be, I think Ethan was trying to say that things could be a lot worse.
Sure.
But for him, it was a difficult
politically
week.
A very bad week. And
Want to summarize it for our listeners don't follow all of this as closely as we do, Dylan Smith?
Yeah, some of this is a little bit inside base. Baseball, but a lot of some of it will also have a big impact on the election.
Give us the bottom line.
State legislator Ethan Orr, a freshman Republican, has been for a decade the executive director of a nonprofit called Linkages that has served disabled people trying to find them employment.
Mm-hmm.
And he
organization run by Mr. Click,
indeed, Click. Founded and run by Jim Click, mm-hmm. Republican kingmaker, as pretty much everybody in town knows, or resigned that position on Friday, saying that he didn't have time to do that job and serve as a legislator, although he has already moved ahead with founding a similar agency to train people who are seriously mentally ill and or homeless to do janitorial and landscaping work. So a rather similar sort of business operation.
So that was part one.
That was the one piece of
the
bad
one piece.
News.
The other piece
that
was
in the morning during breakfast.
Yeah. and then he's taking shots from the right wing, the Tea Partiers. Frank Antonori and Christine Bowserman in particular, who are trying to have people
blacklist him, not
vote for him in the election. And that would essentially
part two of the bad news.
There are three people running for two seats. There are two Democrats and Ethan Orr running for the two House seats in LD9.
And then,
that would see a Democrat elected. And then the Democrats have moved to knock him off the ballot entirely, saying that about half of the nominating signatures that he filed are in some way not valid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's going to be a hearing on that next Wednesday. So,
and that was by dinner. I mean, that's like the worst political day. I know it didn't happen during the day, but it feels like it happened in a day. You know, Ethan's a really nice guy. I've known him since my days at South Tucson. I mean, he's a very pleasant, affable guy, smart guy. His problem, I think, is just that he really did try to please all people. And, you know, he ended up enraging everyone. I mean, myself included, when his coziness with the governor really upset me, because it really, I think that it was a contradiction to all his work when it came to serving our community. So that's just one example. So when you anger all sides, it's all going to come back to you.
The right wing is still chasing after him for voting for Medicaid expansion last year. That's their big issue with him. The Democrats, even though he has a reputation somewhat as a moderate, the Democrats hammer him over the woman's right to choose and gun control versus gun rights.
State Senator Frank Antonori with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Frank, how are you today? How's it going? Hey, Frank.
See, Frank's still mad.
Frank Antonori.
Frank's too mad to talk?
Frank, are you there?
Impossible.
We have lost Frank. But, Frank, if you want to call back immediately, I will get you on the air very quickly. But we had a little bit of a problem there. But anyway, so the challenge to Ethan Orr, it's going to be very close. I mean, right. It could be just really a matter of few signatures.
Well,
right?
The Democrat, according to the complaint filed by the Democrats, Ethan Orr is 15 signatures shy of the number that he needed to have to be on the ballot. Of course, to get to that number, they had to go through a great many, saying that they're invalid for, this or that reasons. You know, they say 288 are invalid out of 634 that he collected.
Right. And, I couldn't see Jeff Rogers not, I could see it both ways. Like maybe he thinks it's worth a shot. Mm-hmm. We can kind of give him a little political black eye here, distract folks.
Even if he doesn't succeed, is a bit of a political black eye.
I think they just lucked out and I don't think they recognized there was going to be these other things that was forming the perfect political storm. So I'm sure that they're toasting and happy about that.
With the team game we've got going on in politics. There was a little bit of spike in the football going on this week.
Right. So, Ethan then would – well, we do have Frank with us. Frank Antonori. Frank, sorry we had a problem there. We only got a minute or two. Frank, you want to summarize your comments for us, please?
I just wanted to ask Dylan if he explored the Tesla angle with regard to Ethan's unfortunate demise of his daytime job. And other than the conflict or the issue with being in the legislature, I held a full-time job and still did that up there, so I don't buy that excuse. So I was looking at the other angle, and he supported a resolution with regard to the retail sale of automobiles and the Tesla plant here, and I was wondering if that connection had been explored.
I had not heard about that.
Well, there are a whole lot of, things that people are coming up with as to why there may or may not have been a falling out, business-wise and or politically between Ethan Orr and Jim Click. And, some of those are, much more, rumors than others. That might be one of the reasons, Orr and Click both say that they have not had a falling out, and Click says he's still, is thrilled that Ethan's in that seat and wants to see him stay there. But, we'll see how much of that is a public face and how much of it is, going to be actual support still.
All right, we're going to hear more from Frank next week. He is scheduled to be on the Buckmaster Show, Frank Antonori, actually in the capacity talking about his opinion on what we should do about the A-10. He's actually got some very good ideas about the future of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and the best way to keep it. Okay, Miguel, we're going to have to wrap it up here, but we will look for your column. Are you still doing the Inside Tucson Business?
Still writing
column?
For them, yep, I am.
Okay.
I am.
Yep. So we'll look for that and hopefully get you back on the air with a weekly show here on KVOI in the fall. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, for having me on.
And thank you, Dylan Smith. Thanks a lot. We'll look
Absolutely.
For your work in TucsonSentinel.com. We have Weekend Watch coming up next with Matt Russell right after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The music that signals the weekend, officially here on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. If you're looking for someplace really nice to cool off this weekend, I suggest a visit over to Silver City. The elevation's about a mile high, anywhere from a mile high to 7,000 feet. That translates into about 15 degrees cooler than Tucson. And once you get there, there's a lot of great hiking and things to do and places to stay, like Manzano's RV Park and Wildwood Retreat in Hot Springs. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and a gentleman who is often called upon to judge best taco eating contests, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Just you caught me finishing up my Father's Day gift wish list. You know, both my kids are procrastinators, so I think I've got just enough time to submit this list today.
Well, they'll be rushing out, I'm sure, to buy those gifts for you, to keep you happy, certainly, on a Father's Day weekend. This is a big weekend. Lots of folks going out to eat. A recommendation for us to get things rolling.
Yeah, you bet, Bill. One of our favorite signs of summer is the big reveal of El Charro's Cinco de Summer menu, which serves up a range of dishes that are only $5 each, all summer long. Now, some of the items on this year's menu include a vegetarian enchilada with an avocado salsa, a prickly pear barbecue chicken tostada, and what they call the summer's best Sonoran dog. Now, of course, the full menu is also available, but I say check out the new summer dishes this weekend, which will save you enough money to buy another round of margaritas. It's Cinco de Summer at all El Charro locations.
I really like the El Charro location. Some of the best Mexican food in the country at El Charro. If you are looking for some cool suds to cool off, what do you suggest?
Yeah, a congregation of Arizona brewers are going to be heading down to the Reed Park Zoo tomorrow night for Brew at the Zoo, which is an event designed to raise money to renovate the zoo's gibbon habitat. Now, this event gets underway at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and just $40 gets you in the gate when the sampling of studs will commence. Two live bands are going to be performing, and some pub-style food will be available at additional cost. And you're sure to go ape over these local ales tomorrow night at Brew at the Zoo. Sounds fun.
How about a Father's Day dinner pick?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the dads love to stay home and man the grill on Sunday, but there's several great specials across town. One that got my eye was at Augustine Kitchen. They're going to be serving up smoked ribs with a house-made barbecue sauce, and that comes with an ice-cold beer and a shot of whiskey. A delight for dads indeed at Augustine Kitchen on Sunday night.
Okay, Matt Russell, we will look for the column in Inside Tucson Business and see you about town dining out. Have a great weekend, Father's Day.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. And all the employees here at KVOI, thank you as well for the supply of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to tune in to KVOI all weekend long for expert talk, beginning tomorrow with Phil Cedar and his gardening program. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.